yesterday, so he called me last night to actually ask to consider either shifting this meeting to allow him to be here, or then to accept that we proceed in his absence. But I did indicate that if we are to postpone this meeting, it will mean that we'll have to engage next year. Unfortunately, we'll have to proceed because we understand the current situation. So the minister would not be here, but the DG is here to lead the delegation. So we'll proceed. And the apology, I've also received a formal apology from the minister's office, and I think that is acceptable. Wasting any time, I think I will then hand over to Ms. Madonsela, the DG. He advised me that he's only 17 days in office, and my response was that 17 days is quite a long time. We have had instances, Mr. Matosela, where DGs who are hardly 2 days in office appear before us. And he said, no, 2 days is very long. So, I don't know how you have prepared to present your report. And now that you are here, you lead us, and if you lead us from some of your
thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. As you said, my name is Lucy Matansela, the new Director General of the Department of Cooperative Governance. Against my better judgment, I decided that I should give the presentation rather than defer it to the resident experts in the department. And I'm hoping that in so doing, I can add perhaps new flavor to what we're about to present. We have taken a particular approach, Chairperson, to this presentation. The letter of invitation, perhaps including the agenda here, suggests that there are two separate presentations. The first being on Operation Clean Audit 2014, and the second being on the local government turnaround strategy. We've taken a view that Operation Clean Audit is an integral part of the local government turnaround strategy, and therefore there would be one integrated presentation rather than two separate presentations. And I hope we have your blessing in so doing. Thank you. On slide number 2, we have an outline of what is contained in the presentation I'm about to give. I needn't go through the various items in detail. Suffice it to say that on the advice of the minister, we've decided that we will go back to the origins of LGTAF, set out the aims and objectives of it, and the targets that were set when LGTAF was initially approved. And then we will canvass matters relating to a period of non-activity in the department, and then cover the period commencing sometime this year when LGTAF was revised, and then we will set out achievements made since the revival of the program, and then we will focus specifically on Operation Clean Audit as a specific component. We'll give the background thereof, then canvas methods relating to the development of the action plan and how the action plan was defined, and what have we done to support municipalities in line with that plan. And then we'll also make reference to the role of other stakeholders or role players towards the achievement of this important task. Thereafter, I will conclude. You will forgive me, Chairperson, if I happen to traverse on familiar grounds, but I've been advised that I shouldn't take anything for granted. So if I should say things that you already know, please forgive me. This is also part of my own learning. The local government turnaround strategy was approved by cabinet during December 2009. It was intended as an overarching strategy that includes a suite of flagship projects such as operations in audits, business adopt a municipality, revenue enhancement, as well as special purpose vehicle, now known as the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, MISA, and the Clean Cities, Clean Towns and Villages. The objectives of LTTIS include building confidence between the people of our country and government, but also building a model municipality characterized by the ability to provide quality services to the citizens. So, therefore, the purpose of the presentation to this committee is to give an update on the status of the LGTAS since its inception in 2009. An attempt will be made to present the details of what has been achieved in pursuit of the objectives set in 2009. We will not dwell much on necessarily all components of the LG test, but we will focus on methods we believe the committee has interest in, more specifically the Operation Clean Audit component. The LG test Operation Clean Audit project aims are guided by the vision that by 2014 all 278 municipalities must achieve unqualified audit opinions on their financial statements. The strategic goal is to provide assistance to all municipalities to achieve sustainable improvement of systems for maintaining quality financial and information management. The strategic purpose, therefore, is to address all issues raised by the Office of the Auditor General to reduce the vulnerability of municipalities to risks associated with poor financial management and poor governance processes through targeted interventions being brought to bear on identified municipalities. Between 2010 and 2011, no municipality was expected to. Between 2010 and 2011, no municipality achieving adverse or disclaimer opinion is one of what we were hoping to achieve. In this regard, we can say that this has not been achieved according to the preliminary results. Disclaimers indicated that 50 and adverse opinions, we have 7. At least 50% of the municipalities achieving unqualified audit opinion by 2012. In that regard, according to the preliminary results, we are now at 44.5% in relation to the 2010-2011 financial year. With regard to the goal that at least 75% of all municipalities should achieve unqualified audit opinions by 2013, the jury is not only out, but has not yet set. We will only get to know what the outcome will be in 2013. With regards to the target of 100% of all municipalities achieving unqualified audit opinions by 2014, this is part of the methods that we will canvass in detail in the course of this presentation. There was a period of lull in the department between 2009 leading to February of this year. This was as a result of the restructuring processes being undertaken in the department, which resulted in a state of paralysis for a period of approximately 18 months. This effectively happened in the period 2011 to the middle of this year. And because as a result of the law, there was a great deal of uncertainty at both political and administrative levels in the department. The original LGTAS team was disbanded at the beginning of 2011. The impetus of the LGTAS had so much buy-in in the provinces and municipalities that despite the lull at the national department, there was a considerable degree of implementation by both provinces and municipalities in the meantime. And what has been achieved in that time includes the establishment of provincial coordinating committees of this operation, OPCAS, as well as the institutionalization of LGTAS units in provinces, and of course the appointment of staff for LGTAS support in those two spheres of government. The LGTAS today, with the arrival of the new minister, there was a renewed focus and emphasis created on the acceleration of the LGTAS. It was revived with a refined focus on 108 targeted municipalities as opposed to 278 municipalities. And this revised target of 108 municipalities was approved by MINMEC on 25th May this year. The renewed focus in terms of which the LGTAS is accelerated up to 2014 is through the following priority areas. First, it's targeting the acceleration of service delivery. Second, enhancing good governance. Third, promoting sound financial management. Fourth, fighting corruption. And finally, facilitating sustainable infrastructure development. So these areas have been identified as catalytic projects which, if achieved, will improve the situation in our municipalities. So these five focus areas are mutually reinforcing and directly play a critical role in improving the audit outcomes of municipalities. In aligning the Operation Clean Audit vision with the five items that I've just referred to in the previous slide, the department visited all provinces from July to the end of August this year to discuss the provincial LGTAS action plans for the 108 identified LGTAS municipalities. The department also finalized the action plans in respect of each of those 108 municipalities. And I'm here to say to the committee that a report on the profile of at least 108 municipalities in relation to this LGTAS focus areas will be concluded by not later than the end of November this year. On the audit outcomes, the slides that follow will provide information with regard to the progress in municipal audit outcomes from financial year 2008, 2009 to financial year 2010-2011. And the provincial breakdown of the 2010-2011 municipal audit outcomes. This slide, number 12, gives us a sense of what audit outcomes have been, what audit opinions have been expressed by the Office of the Auditor General in the period 2008 2009 financial year up to 2010-2011. Reading the slide from the left, from the right, coming to the left, we can see that, for an example, in 2008-2009, only 0.3 municipalities achieved clean audits. But in 2009-2010, this increased to 2%. In 2010-2011, it gradually increased further to 5%. On those municipalities that got financially unqualified opinions with findings from 2008, we can see that we're at 41%. This increased slightly to 43%, but slided back to 41% in 2010-2011. On financially unqualified financial statements, in 2008-2009, we started at 42%. This increased to 45% in 2009-2010, and marginally increased to 46% in 2010-2011. The same can be said about qualified audits, that in 2008-2009, we started at 17% of our municipalities with qualified audit opinions being expressed by the AG, and this increasing to 26% in 2009-2010, and being reduced in 2010-2011 to 20%. On the adverse opinion being expressed in 2008-2009, we're at 4%. This was reduced by 1% in 2009-10, but then increased again by 2% to 5% in 2010-2011. Disclaimer opinions by the AG affected 37% of our municipalities in 2008-2009. The number was reduced to 25%. There was a further steady increase, reduction in 2010-2011 at 23%. Audits not issued in 2008-2009 were at 0.3%. This increased to 2% in 2009-2010, and a further increase to 6% in 2010-2011. That's the total of municipalities. And annual financial statements that were not submitted in 2008-2009, we had 0.3%. In 2009-10, we had 2%, and this increased slightly to 3% in 2010-2011. This information, as you can see, is based on the information that was at hand on the 27th of July this year. What the above figures tell us is that there has been improvement in the ability of municipalities to handle their financials, in that municipalities that received a financially unqualified opinion without findings and those with findings increased from 42 to 46%. And these I've already spoken to as I was presenting the previous slide. It also shows a fluctuation in numbers of those that received a qualified opinion. In the two previous financial years, there was no improvement in municipalities that received adverse opinions or disclaimer. These figures serve as a point of reference regarding our intervention and support action. Slides number 14, 15, 16, and 17, I think, give us a breakdown of municipal audits outcomes. These are provincial breakdowns, which basically indicate how the different municipalities in the various provinces have fared as a percentage of the performance of municipalities within a specific province. The preceding slide, perhaps I should say, has to do with 2010-2011 audit outcomes. But slide number 15 tries to canvass the trends from the period 2008-2009 to 2010-2011. Number 16 covers pretty much the same period, but giving the different performances of municipalities in their provincial breakdown. Perhaps I should quickly move to slide number 18, which then talks about the Operation Clean Audit, the action plan that the department put together with the provincial counterparts and partner departments. With regard to that action plan, municipal audit outcomes are instructive for us to work harder, if we are to succeed in realizing the objectives we set ourselves as government, of achieving audit ratings that speak of a model municipality. They identified three critical areas from the Auditor General's report are to be looked at if the vision is to be achieved, and this will focus on leadership, both political and administrative, methods of governance, as well as methods of financial management. In this regard, we developed an action plan which is attached to our presentation, which clusters activities to be undertaken up to 2014 within the context of the three areas mentioned above. The action plan identifies the stakeholders responsible for particular actions in the drive to support municipalities to achieve a favorable audit opinion. The plan itself is a collaborative effort that draws from roles played by specific stakeholders in the support of municipalities. The Operation Clean Audit action plan was refined in September 2012 after the local government MINMEC was convened in that time, during which a number of municipalities were invited to share their experiences. Municipalities that consistently achieved a clean audit were invited to come and share their experiences as to how is it that they've been able to maintain such a positive trend. There were also municipalities that never submitted their annual financial statements. They too were invited to come and share what difficulties they're experiencing, which have made it impossible for them to submit these financials, as well as municipalities that showed significant improvement over a period of time, to share with MINMEC what are the issues they focused on that helped them record such significant improvements within their specified period of time. This was to take, was meant to give us cue from which to take. That is, to look at municipalities that shared success stories so that we could draw inspiration from them as to exactly how it is that they managed to do this, so that we can draw from that and see how those experiences could be shared with other municipalities facing difficulties. So the action plan was refined accordingly at that MINMEC in September 2012. The key drivers of success are that municipalities that achieved clean audits indicated that the key drivers for clean administration that lead to good financial management will include the following: that leadership must take ownership of key controls in the organization, consistently implementing audit recommendations, functional governance structures, that is AMPAC, finance portfolio committees, audit committees, internal audit units, and risk management committees must be in place. And this is part of what we consider to be good governance. The development and proper implementation of an action plan once it is agreed upon and approved, and proper financial management skills to be imparted on those who are responsible for financial management, as well as proper record keeping. So these are the methods that came out of the experiences that were shared by the different municipalities, especially those that had a positive trend in the area of financial management. What was also observed are the factors that negate the achievement of a clean audit. That these include lack of ownership by political leadership and management at municipal level, the lack of financial management skills, that repeat findings that are not repeat findings that are made by the Office of the Auditor General, if they are not properly addressed, they will definitely militate against the achievements of a clean audit by a municipality. The availability of critical staff during the audit is quite important, meaning that the lack of critical staff will impact negatively on the achievement of a clean audit. And finally, the non-functional governance structure. If you don't have your audit committees, you don't have your risk committees, you don't have your impact, you are unlikely to succeed in working towards clean audit. So these are the methods which will now have to receive full attention as part of the action plan. These slides that will follow will then focus on what have we done to support municipalities, and we will start with matters relating to governance. What have we done to support municipalities in this area? Under leadership, we have supported the appointment of municipal managers and chief finance officers. The statistics regarding the filling of these posts are as follows. 219 out of 278 municipal managers' posts were filled as at the end of September this year. And the 278 CFO posts were filled as at the end of September 2012. On the draft regulations for municipal senior managers, these have been developed to govern the appointment and conditions of service of municipal managers and Section 56 managers. It served before the local government MINMEC of 16 September 2012, and that consultations pursuant to the MINMEC decisions are being finalized. Further, under leadership, we supported municipalities to develop and implement recruitment and retention strategies. In this regard, work is being conducted in a pilot municipality with the intent to roll out to 69 municipalities based on lessons learned out of that pilot. Supporting municipalities to develop technical skills, and in this regard, two human resource officials from 35 municipalities were subjected to a three-day program hosted by the Institute of Municipal Personnel Practitioners. We partnered with the Department of Social Development to develop a program for 35 municipalities for IGP interventions. Guidelines on the establishment of MPEX have been put in place, and this is a joint effort between the Department of Cooperative Governance and National Treasury, and that these were issued on 17 August 2011. We supported the establishment of MPEX. 87% of MPEX are currently established. and that, of course, the Department of Cooperative Governance monitors governance structures such as audit committees and internal audit units to ensure that good governance goes beyond the establishment of those structures, that actually makes sure that those structures fulfill the role for which they've been established. This slide gives us the statistics on municipal governance structures. And this is a provincial breakdown of MPECs, of audit committees, and internal audit units. As you can see, under MPECs, we have a sizable number of municipalities that are 100%, and some that are lagging behind, the Free State at 42%, and the Western Cape at 33%. On audit committees, we have a sizable number of provinces that are at 100%, and those that are marginally below 100%, with the Northwest being the lowest at 75%. On internal audit units, it's a mixed bag. Not many are at 100%. In fact, I think on average, one could say that we are pretty much at about 50-60%, with the Northern Cape being the lowest at 28%. These statistics indicate areas where intervention is required as a matter of extreme urgency. The step on municipal audit remedial action plans to address the 2010-2011 audit outcomes. This is a set out in slide number 28. I think the lowest there is the Northwest at 43%, based on information that was submitted to us to the Department of Cooperative Governance as of the 24th of May this year. The next area of focus is fighting corruption. What have we done to support municipalities in this regard? The department continues to facilitate training of municipal officials on ethics management. Four district municipalities and their local municipalities have been trained, and post that training, they are establishing ethics committees. These include Kakadu, I believe DM means district municipality, Kuha local municipality, Makana local municipality, Kugama local municipality, and Kamdibu local municipality. In Alfred Nzo district municipality, we have Matatiel and Umzimbu local municipalities. In OR Tambo district municipality, we have Nshonto, Nyandeni, Nguza Hill, King Sabata, Dalinjebo. And in Overberg district municipality, we have Mossel Bay. On matters of financial management, we have supported municipalities on credit control and debt collection policies. 39 municipalities have been supported in KwaZulu-Natal and 18 in the Northern Cape. We've developed a program to roll out these interventions to municipalities in other provinces as well. Action by partners, coordination of efforts by all relevant stakeholders at national and provincial level is important in order to avoid duplication. In order to improve municipal audit outcomes, the following has been done. Municipalities have been prevailed upon to timely develop and implement municipal audit remedial action plans by 20 July 2012. 89% of municipalities had audit remedial action plans developed by that time. Provinces, that is cooperative governance and traditional affairs and treasuries departments, monitor the implementation of municipal remedial action plans. As I conclude this presentation, I wish to say that the department is confident that the impact of our support interventions will become evident in the next 2011-2012 audit outcomes, which are expected fairly soon. The target that all municipalities shall receive a clean audit opinion by 2014, realistically, it's unlikely to be achieved. However, through combined effort and commitment seen in KwaZulu-Natal, we believe that on average, our actions and interventions will result in at least 70% of municipalities achieving a clean audit opinion by 2014. And this would need to be looked at against the background of the lull that I referred to, which spanned over a period of 18 months. We wish to also bring to the attention of the committee that the recent capacity assessment report by the Municipal Demarcation Board has given us new impetus to accelerate the approval of regulations so that competent personnel are appointed in this sphere of our government. Essentially, the report of the Auditor General on the state of financial management at the municipal level, as well as the recent report by the Municipal Demarcation Board on the capacity of municipalities to deliver on their mandate, that those two reports now inform how we should do our work and which areas we should focus on if we are to turn the situation around in that sphere of government. Chairperson, that concludes the presentation at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Magonzela, for the report. It's much more detailed than the one that you rejected, I must say. I will now allow members to raise some questions or queries or omissions in your report, and then we can engage from the Honorable Dupier, Honorable Lee, Honorable Becker, and Honorable Martin.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the brand new Director General. We wish you well in your position. It's a very huge responsibility that you are carrying. And the members in this committee and also the Senate Committee for Finance will support you, but they will be very serious when you pick up issues in the provinces that need to be addressed. And that's why I want to start, Honorable Chairperson, that the Director General, through the MINMAC, will have to do an audit of the provincial department's capacity to roll out this operation. I come from the Northern Cape. I know what's going on there. Although they are very committed to do the work, but the warm bodies to do it is an issue. So, that point you will have to take very seriously regarding the provincial capacities to roll out and implement this action plan. Secondly, Chairperson, that MINMAC also serves as a monitoring tool structure to monitor and evaluate what's happening physically in the province. That province just don't come and sit there, and it's a passing on of information from the national department. There must be a interaction. What's happening in your province with MEC, what's happening in your province. So the role of MINMAC, you will have to look at that. We were told the end of last year when we engaged with the deputy minister, still in the old assembly chamber, that there would have been a local government fiscal framework summit in February 2012, which didn't materialize. We interacted with National Treasury as well as the FFC. The FFC did their own type of hearings, and they brought out a report, I think it was in March, April. This local government fiscal framework summit is still going to take place because this is crucial. Following on that chairperson, the demarcation board made a presentation during the local government week we had in the NCP. The viability of municipalities in the country in terms of their program as demarcation board. The viability of municipalities will have to be addressed. I'm talking now of Mir, in my province, Mir, up in the Kalahari, bordering on Namibia and Botswana, and Kamiesberg, Magareng, Renosterberg, and so I can go on. The appointment of municipal managers and CFOs takes too long. There's a vacancy in my municipality, Kamiesberg. Takes too long. I can't believe that at the administrative part takes so long. It must be speeded up on the chairperson. The role of mayors in terms of the MFMA will have to be emphasized. Now interaction, they quickly shifted to the MM and the CFO when we asked them to appear before us. The role of the mayor in terms of the MFMA, and also the mayor's role over the MM and the CFO, the senior manager. It's clear. The word must appears in every section of that legislation. You can link the outstanding financial statements of a municipality to a disclaimer in one of your slides. Outstanding AFS is at the bottom. You can make an arrow to a disclaimer. It will be the same municipality. I'm not talking for my province because we did an analysis in a northern Cape. We hear every time on the chairperson, I'm going to finish off, of the capacity to have enough qualified CFOs. I put it to you, Director General, to make it your task with your department to go to high schools, to recruit grade 12s that's doing well in maths and accounting, recruit them, give them a bursary, send them to university for 3 years and take them in for 5. That's how you're going to solve this problem. Otherwise, we will speak about this for the next 10 years. I want to mention in this meeting on the chairperson, the HUD for Provincial Treasury, Mr. Mokoku, regularly visits my region, specific that municipality, Kamiesberg, but I can't say the same of Kokta. I sit with my councillors once a month around the table about issues. It's the role of a member of parliament as well. Clean towns. Thank you for that one. So politely is a rubbish dump.
Hmm?
I'm very frank with that. But Uppington is spotless. It's about leadership. So you will have to address this. If the one can do it, why not the other one? The same with Mangaung, when we visited Mangaung last year. They got millions of rands for the environmental issues to clean up Mangaung. But when we drove to Palamnomi Hospital, it was filthy. Really, it was. But they couldn't answer the question what they did with the money. Because those monies are allocated to those municipalities. Thank you, Chair. Sorry for taking so long, but that was my issue.
No problem, Chair. No problem. Another list.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the new DG, and good luck in your hot seat. We'll try not to burn your nether regions too much. Mr. Chairman, what was briefly touched on was the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. And we talked about 18 months of lack of real commitment to this program and the subsequent resuscitation. But during that period from 2009, was that agency established? What is the situation now? And in particular, I'm interested to know here about the secondment appointment of engineers. How many have been placed in which municipalities, and have they had the desired effect? Jim, I think one of the thread that runs through what Andre de Beer has said and what I completely agree with is that there's a capacity, a human resource capacity issue here in achieving the clean audit and achieving indeed the objectives of the whole program. But we seem to concentrate on structural issues. And we don't really, I know there are a lot of programs about training and all those kind of things, but in my mind it's more than that. And you do mention it, and at some point here, it's about leadership. and no matter how much structural measures you put in place, I'll give you the example, Limpopo, 100% impact, 100% audit committee, 100% internal audit unit, and yet 83% of the municipalities have got a qualified audit. So structural issues is not really the problem. You look at the Western Cape, which seems to have the lowest, 33% impact, 97% on audit committees, and 77% internal audit units. And yet they've got a very, very high unqualified audit. So I'm making the point that the emphasis really should be on human capacity and management. Leadership and structural issues perhaps have some relevance, but they are not the answer. On your slide 26, you've talked about the establishment of impacts and audit committees and so on. When you say you monitor governance structures, such as audit committees and internal audit units, what do you really mean? Do you simply mean, is it established, is it not established, and that's your monitoring? Or do you actually monitor the performance of those particular committees and units? And if so, can you give us some information about the results of this monitoring? Jim, and I'm saying this with somewhat of a split allegiance, because on your page 16, I'm not sure what the slide number is, you say the 39 municipalities have been supported in KZN and 18 in Northern Cape. Well, KZN actually is doing quite well. Now, I'm not sure whether it's because you've given that 39 municipalities the support, or you've gone there because it's doing well. And I'm wondering why you haven't concentrated, you have done Northern Cape, but on Limpopo, Free State, and places where there are real problems, and rather than my own province, which is doing quite well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's all.
Another Becker.
Honourable Chairman, Honourable DG, and everyone here, thank you for this presentation. I support everything that you said in this presentation. It's nice of us to hear. It's nice plans to be on table. But my problem is the implementing of this whole thing. This doesn't happen. And I don't know why. I am from Oudtshoorn and Kannaland. And the gentleman over there knows that region. And there's nothing going on there. You can look there, they haven't got, haven't even handed in financial states for the past 2 years, and but nothing is implemented over there. So I'm asking you, what can we do to implement this plan that you've got entitled?
Thank you, Sam. Chair, slide 3, I think. Slide 3 speaks to the revival of the LGTA and the objective is set out as building conference between people and government. Now, this chairperson, I want to concur that it hinges on the introduction, the addendum to the constitution. I mean, the introduction to the constitution, where it indicates that the people shall govern. And it is the level at which people should be able to see government in action. And once we are not able to ensure that particular level of government is functional, then for a long time to come, people will not be able to feel the effect of governance. There's a slide that speaks to, on page 6, 12, slide 12. On municipal audit outcomes. On financial unqualified findings, 2008 and 2009, there's 41%, and 2009 is going up, then it goes down. I'm not quite sure if the department has picked up what the reasons are for the decline, including for the others as well, because from 2008-09 there's a decline, but again an increase in 2010-2011. What could be the reason? Chairperson, I'm looking at the various training programs that the department has put into place to assist the officials in the municipalities. And there are programs also on ethics which have been implementing it now with some of the municipalities. The question I have, Chairperson, is whether the right personnel attend to the training program. Because most of the time, as our experience indicated when we visited municipalities, the senior officials actually sent their juniors to attend. Now, it is the question of whether we are able to identify whether we are training the right personnel in the right position. The issue of corruption, Chairperson, it's something that has been with us now for quite some time. And the Municipal Management Finance Act does indicate the punitive measures which are available. And I just want to find out to what extent does this legislation allow the department to assist those particular municipalities which are in dire straits, which are probably mostly faced by the same problem of corruption, and where personnel has been identifiable. Whether there are instances where the department has been able to act in essence with respect to some of this there. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I must apologize. I'm from a programming committee. That's why I was a little bit late. Also to regulate this committee's work. That's why I'm late. Chairperson, on the very same point that Honorable Mbithi is making. I want clarity on this. And must forgive me if I understand this thing. You see, between 2010 and 2011, no municipality achieving address and disclaimer audit opinion. But you see, this supporting document here is saying something else on 2011.
No, this was the target set.
Yes.
This is the target in terms of the strategy that you're
saying. Yeah, okay.
By this period, this should have happened, but it did not happen the way.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for that clarity. Chair, you see, yesterday in that meeting, the Auditor General said, or was the treasurer, said that no consequences for people doing wrong things. You know, I will talk about the Free State. I see here, I'm from the Free State. It's my province. In Nala, on this document, the DJ, that's with red, Nala. You know, this municipality is every week on the news. There is this municipal manager who went to the bank to try to cash a check of 600,000 rand. The bank reversed it. This very same municipal manager is now promoted to the MEC's office of police. That's a case against you. You go to Maluti Apofun. Disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. Since 2009, The mayor is an MEC as we speak now. He is from that municipality. Now, for as long as, you see, I hear what Mr. De Beer and Mr. Lees is saying about capacity and human capacity and all. There's no such a thing. For as long as we are not rooting out groups and promoting groups, this thing will never, never be solved. You see, Chairperson, instead we must take these people to task. We are giving them more money, bailing them out. In my hometown, in Kroonstad, Mukaka municipality. You can check on this. Disclaimer. Nothing is happening. The mayor is going on. Last week there was a hell of a fight there and a protest and what. Nothing is happening to the mayor or to the municipal manager and what. The municipal manager comes from somewhere else. He have looted that municipality, he's promoted, they brought him to Kroonstad, also to loot Kroonstad further, driving big Mercedes 4x4s and whatever. Chairperson, I am pleading with you and the committee that we must put food down. We can't talk. I'm 18 years now in Parliament. That song of corruption is from 1994. We are singing this song. And people are not being arrested. They are being promoted to higher positions. Thank you very much. Sorry, sir. No, the minister. I wrote a letter to the minister. The DG is aware of this, but the DG is new. I wrote a letter on this person who was promoted from Nala to the MEC's office. And the minister responded to say he is going to investigate. It's last month that he wrote to me to say he is going to investigate. Because it's very serious. You can't loot one department and being promoted to the other. Minister Baloyi is aware of this problem.
Thank you, Honorable members. Mr. Madonsela, I think we have captured all the questions for clarity. I just want to emphasize two or three things. One of the biggest things that we have picked up, and the AG has also confirmed, which are troubling municipalities across the board, is non-compliance with legislation. That is very rife. And as legislators ourselves, we are very much concerned that it would seem these laws are just there to be broken by the very same people who are supposed to protect and observe them. And that is unacceptable. And in your plan, I take it that you don't have a detailed plan before us, but I did not hear anything with regard to how the department is trying to address that. That is one thing that you will have to address as a department. There's no compliance with the Municipal Systems Act, there's no compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act, and all other legislations that are governing this sphere of government. That is a very serious issue. We would want you at some point to come back and give us progress in terms of what is it that you have done, and it cuts across the municipality. People are no longer having any fear to breach the laws. One example, in my constituency, the Makwasi Hills municipality, which is one matter that I would want to follow up on, there's absolutely no municipality there. It's only people going to work. Even when you enter the office, you would not be, you would be forgiven to say that it's not a municipal office, the way it is. Councillors fight among themselves. Each time there's a meeting, there must be police called to be on standby outside the chamber because there's likelihood that they are going to fight.
a municipal manager is just recently being appointed there by a council that did not even form a quorum. But he's working. I'm not sure if the provincial MEC has do the concurrence in terms of the act, but that man is working, appointed without a quorum. These people are fighting every day. We have done all sorts of things to intervene. Nothing is happening. And I think I've raised the matter with the minister also. But now that the DG is here, I think for the record, I'm raising it again here so that you also attend to it. If you need some more details, I'm available to have a meeting with you and we discuss the issue. That's Makwasi's in the North Rail. So the issue of non-compliance is key. And it's something that we want you to, as a matter of agency, give attention. We understand that the 108 municipalities that you are targeting are those that are targeted through the NISA intervention. But would very much appreciate that whilst that those will be targeted particularly to assist with their infrastructure development, but we should not lose focus of making sure that all these municipalities that are not performing well are babysitted until the situation has improved. Because we still have got 2 years to go to reach our targeted year, which is 2014. And at some point, after the launch of this strategic turnaround strategy, the momentum was very high. The department used to have what they call a rapid response unit, something like that. A unit dedicated strictly to attend to matters as they are raised. If we raise issues like the one Honorable Bloom is raising, the one I'm raising, we would know that immediately that unit will zoom into that particular municipality and do the necessary investigation and action will be taken. I don't know if during the disbandment something happened to it, but if it's still there, we would want to see it keeping the momentum like it did in 2009-10. Because some of these municipalities, if we don't keep them running, we will never achieve the clean water. People are just there to do the wrong thing. We see these things as we attend to our constituency. We see and hear these things as and when we invite them to appear before the committee. So that is one of the challenges that you are going to be forced to attend to the thematic there. I think the issues relating to audit committees and MPEC, I'm interested to know as to, because if you check Western Cape and Free State, the establishment of MPEC are still below 50%. I would want to know what is the reason, because it would seem almost everyone is almost towards 100%. But Free State, I know Free State at some point there was resistance to establish the MPEC. But in October, they are still at 42%, not unless your figures are still as at April, as reflected in your document. Yeah, as well as Western Cape. I'm interested because Western Cape is one of those problems that is doing well. What are the problems with regard to the establishment of MPEC? Now, your in terms of the action plan that you have put in place to try to address, that municipalities are putting to try to address the queries, the ages queries, there's still lack of timeline in terms of when, by when are they intending to achieve those particular corrections. And it's worrying. Otherwise, if they don't put timelines just open, it might not even happen. The way if one looks at the attitude of some of our councillors in that level. Now, the last point I wanted to make, which is, I've just quickly gone through your these tables here that shows figures, for an example, the municipal audit outcomes, provincial breakdown, that is from slide 14 until slide 17. There's some bit of a distortion there. I don't know if you have picked up. And if anybody reads this without somebody from your unit explaining or giving details, it might even distort it further. For an example, let me pick one example. You would say disclaimers for three-year period. Disclaimers, for an example, you take Northwest. Northwest, they have recorded something like 7 disclaimers for the period. But here it will appear as 0. And there is no note that explains that if I read it and I say Northwest did not get a disclaimer, yet the supporting document shows that there are at least 7 disclaimers, then you will find that kind of a distortion. That is over and above, and you read that with audit not issued, which is 52% correct, so in Northwest. And we know out of that 52%, we might still get disclaimers and all those things. But I'm just saying that is one thing that you will have to, because according to this document, the one that records the audit outcome for 3 years in detail, it shows that Northwest had 7 disclaimers for 2010-2011. But when you go to these tables here, it's 0. So that is the distortion I'm talking about. Something that you will have to correct, otherwise it changes the whole picture in terms of one reading it and making sense out of it. While I'm on that note, that matter, it's something that I said in the previous meeting where we sent the department there. You see, some of these mistakes might appear to be a small mistake, like this one. You put Northwest 0 whilst they got 7 disclaimers and how many adverts. And when you read this and relate it to what you are saying, it changes the picture completely because it affects other figures from other provinces. Now, this kind of mistakes at this level, to me, are not acceptable. Because this is the highest level where, when departments come, and I always argue like that, when departments come, they should make sure that the report that they table is 100% correct. Because out of these reports, we also generate reports that are going to be tabled in Parliament. And if we generate reports that are misleading, then you would understand the implications. Because some of these reports that you generate are read by other people, the researchers, the what, and other people will always query that, but where does Parliament get this report? Because the real picture, that's where people will always accuse departments of distorting information, giving figures that are being inflated, because people want to hide this and this and this. When the intention was not that, it was purely done. So I'm just saying, if I'm able to pick up this, and these two reports are from the same department, and we have got this huge delegation, and none of them pick it up before we even sit here, then it's a problem. It can't be that the whole team of about 10 people could not pick up that, no. These figures here are wrong, these figures here are wrong. I'm just citing it because it's something that we see departments, various departments, DGs, CFOs at this level, coming and doing in Parliament. And I'm sharing it with you because you are a new DG in this department, and I hope it's something that you'll have to make sure that you monitor going forward. No matter which committee you appear before, as long as you are going to table a report, let your team make sure that their texts are correct. figures are right. Spelling is correct. Because your report says a lot about you as a department. So, it's one point I'm just raising, and I hope it will get the attention of all who are here today, moving forward. Otherwise, I'm quite happy with the details of the report. Says that one small change in one finger changes the entire thing and spoils even the good end. Because as I was reading now, I said, no, that the GG is mistaken. But I realized that it could be an oversight on your part, your human as well. But it is a big team here. All of them should have to be done. Honorable to
Kim. Thank you for allowing me. The MECs for Kokta and the provinces must annually submit a report on the local government position in that province to the provincial legislature. And I propose that we can have a jointly with the Select Committee for Kokta call those MECs with the National Department of Parliament as an additional monitoring of the progress made in terms of the presentation we got today. And that we on a quarterly basis engage with this department as part of our upper work for the year. That's it. Mr.
Batalvera?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for very constructive comments for which we are indebted to you. Perhaps, Chairperson, one of the things that we would need to have clarified, and I'll ask my colleagues next to me to deal specifically with the matter you've raised with regards to the stats. Because these are, as you correctly pointed out, very delicate matters, which, if wrongly placed in the table, even without any intent to mislead, might in fact have unintended consequences. And it's a matter that we certainly need to address, and we'll make sure that we pay full attention to this going forward. There is a sizable number of questions that have been raised, and I'm going to ask my colleagues from the department who are resident experts in the various areas to field these questions. There's just perhaps one I will attempt, even in my 17 days, which has to do with whether our approach is purely structural, meaning focuses on the establishment of structures, or we need to be focusing on building the capacity of personnel to do what they need to do. And the Western Cape, of course, is used as an example that although they don't have many of the structures, the performance on the audit is generally very high. It shouldn't perhaps be an either-or. It should be a combination of all these things. Even in those areas where you have very competent individuals, over time, if you don't have good structures in place, even the good results you see in the Western Cape may well start to decline if you don't have proper governance structures in place. But perhaps what I draw from what has been said is that we need to do more than just focus on the structures. We need to make sure that the capacity of personnel is built. And perhaps that's where a primary emphasis should be placed, while at the same time setting up the structures to make sure that the governance arrangements are well in place. My experience is generally this, that even with the best personnel, very competent, good-hearted at one point, over time, you start seeing good performances actually dropping, because there isn't anybody exercising oversight. There isn't anybody who understands what needs to be done actually exercising oversight. So I thought I should just emphasize that point. It shouldn't be either or, so that we need to do all of those interventions. But if you will permit, Jefferson, I will ask my colleagues, who I'm sure have already picked questions that relate to their areas of work, to assist me in responding to the specific questions that have been raised. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will start with the question of Honorable De Beers with regard to the Local Government Fiscal Framework Summit. It is correct that we had planned that the summit will be held in February this year, after the pre-summit that we had held with various stakeholders last year around September. But circumstances beyond our control in relation to other decisions that we waited for them to take place necessitated that summit could not necessarily be held. At the moment, we are still in the process of determining what date that summit should go forward. Honorable De Beers will also know that that summit was also to look at issues of the vertical division of revenue for municipalities. And at the moment, if we look at the equitable share formula that is currently being finalized, it's only looking at the horizontal issues. The reason being that we still wait for some policy issues that need to be decided. So that summit, it is correct that we could not necessarily have it in February. The other question that I didn't yet say
that. The request is that you be specific about those policy issues.
Or the policy issues that we are referring to here is that we had the policy conference that was coming. So for us to go into the summit without getting to understand what the policies that will inform the fiscal framework of the of government, it was just going to be the tail wagging the dog. So we wanted to wait for those kind of processes to happen so that when we go to the summit, we have incorporated all those issues that would have been raised. The question around MISA establishment, yes, MISA has been established now as a government component. It has been approved in May. The number of engineers that were in DBSA were transferred to MISA. What we do not have at this moment is where in which municipalities those engineers are. And I would propose, Chair, that perhaps in this particular case we either do it in writing to indicate where they are deployed and whether they are having the desired effect. That is the area which we will provide in writing. And if we don't necessarily provide in writing, if the committee is having time, we can come back with the acting CEO of MISA so that he then presents the whole program. Now, there was another question, why are we concentrating on those provinces that are doing well? In this particular case, I think it is referring to KZN and Western Cape. We have a program of action it was KZN and Northern Cape. We have a program of action that is going to all the provinces. For instance, tomorrow we'll be here in the Western Cape, and then the program is going to be rolled out in all the provinces. It was just a matter of us starting in KZN. With regard to Honorable Mutsisi, there is on the slide 12, what are the reasons for the decline from 2009-10 to 2010-11, where we have financially unqualified with findings declining from 43% to 41%. We don't necessarily have the scientific reason why the decline. Our view is that because in that year we had 2% that were clean in 2009 and 10, in 2010-11 we had an improvement of those that are clean, which might have meant that some of the municipalities that were on the financially unqualified with findings might have moved to clean audit. So that is it's not necessarily scientific in that we didn't really do the analysis that way. The question around, are the right personnel attending the training that the department is conducting? Right personnel in relation to the leadership in municipalities. This is an area which, when we conducted the LGITAS workshop, we were emphasizing, and in all the provinces where we were conducting this workshop, we had the leadership of municipalities presenting on the revised action plan based on the 5 focus areas. And the HODs of various provinces of Costa were also in attendance, and that was the issue of really making sure that this is the important matter of leadership even at municipal level. So municipal managers and CFOs were attending those. With regard to Honorable Bloom's concern around the Nala municipality, the concerns have already been raised with the National Treasury and ourselves. We have visited the municipality to find out what are the issues around financial management. And we are also going to be meeting with National Treasury because there is an intention to withhold the transfers to Nala municipality if they are not going to sort out some of the challenges that they are having. But with the issue of a person being moved from the municipality or promoted to the MEC's office, the Amendment Act that the Parliament approved had indicated if a person has been was found guilty for corruption in a municipal environment, that person is not allowed to be deployed in any other municipality for a period of 10 years. Now, it might be that that person has not necessarily gone through the disciplinary process where there was an award of a guilty verdict. But that is an issue that, you have indicated that the minister will be following up. Honorable Chair, on the question of Free State and Western Cape, having established municipal public account committees below 50%, we have engaged with the two provinces up to the extent that they made a presentation to the portfolio committee in August. At that time, Free State was having 0 establishment. And then they promised that by the end of September, they would have finalized. The report that we received 2 weeks ago was just indicating that they have started the process because they are now at 42%. With regard to Western Cape, the challenge was that in the implementation of the guidelines, there was an issue around nomenclature, because they were saying they do have committees that they are not necessarily calling municipal public accounts committees. Then they needed to just take a resolution to say these are really municipal public accounts committees. The last issue that I would want to comment on, Honorable Chair, is the issue of the statistics around the Northwest. Although the DG has indicated that it was really an oversight, I think it was just a question of a switch. We put the statistics for the adverse on the disclaimer instead of putting the statistics of the disclaimer on the adverse. And we appreciate that in the presentation we'll correct it, and also in future we'll have to be vigilant in looking at this matter. I think the other colleagues will add on some of the questions that I might not have touched.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the honourable members of the committee. Chair, I'm going to start with what I would assume that my colleague did not touch on, and the DG left to us to deal with. Firstly, Chairperson, yes, the mainland structure does play an oversight and management role of the activities and the planning and the implementation of the revival of the local government channel strategy. Each and every plan that has been presented to this committee has gone through MINMAC, including the plans of going to the various provinces to make sure that we assess their action plans. And by the end of this month, we shall have taken also to MINMAC next month, to political MINMAC, the progress reports on the action plans that we found in the various provinces. The other issue was around the viability of municipalities, which I think relates very closely to the fiscal framework that is being referred to. I think, Chairperson, the policy framework and the debate that is taking place within the department currently is the determination of what we mean by viable and non-viable, because the circumstances are really in the policy framework that at some point Parliament is going to have to finalize. Because the reality, Chairperson, is that in our assessments of municipalities, there are municipalities that shouldn't have existed if you look at the demarcation lines and the economics of some municipalities. If you go, for example, to the Northwest, Kagisano and Molopo, they were matched with the hope that a problem was being resolved, because both municipalities were truly just non-viable. But you were taking two cripples, two blind people, and allowing them to run on their own. There's no money there. There is no economic activity in Kagisano and Molopo. There will never be any, unless by some miracle there's a mine that's going to be discovered, or some factory is being deliberately relocated to those two municipalities, which is now one. Chairperson, just to add on that one, you go to some rural municipalities in the Eastern Cape or in KZN or Limpopo, 80% of the population depends on social grants. At the same time, we expect the same rules that would apply to Johannesburg or that would apply to George municipality to apply in those municipalities on collection of revenue. Firstly, as a state, we recognize the poverty, we subsidize the individuals living there, and we expect the municipality to collect revenue from the very subsidies that we as a state give to these people. So something must give on the fiscal framework between municipalities and the state, taking in mind in the past how these municipalities were cross-subsidized by national fiscal. But it's a discussion that I think in policy will have to take place between us and Treasury. Chairperson, the issue of the appointment of municipal managers. We do recognize this, that is true. And part of the five agenda issues, where it takes time or so long and forever to appoint the top six Because in terms of our targets in the local government turnaround strategy, that your top six managers need to be appointed as quickly as possible within municipalities. Our challenge, Chairperson, is the change in the political leadership usually in municipalities. That usually leads to this kind of instability where municipal officials are appointed on the basis of who is in charge of the municipality at the point in time. And Chair, I need to be very careful and say, sometimes it doesn't have to be a different political party running the municipality. It is the same political party in some instances. But the issue is moving of the chairs and wanting to appoint people who are in good books and in favor of the particular leadership in the municipality. It goes even for CFOs, it goes for engineers, and therefore part of our assessment in the renewed approach and our action plans includes that they need to respond to questions as to, have you filled all the posts in the municipality? What are the processes that you are following? Where are you struggling? What kind of support do you require? There's an issue that the committee is saying that the DG needs to look at around monitoring the capacity of provinces to be able, more especially, I think, Honorable Dubier, around the Northern Cape. We have mentioned this issue before. The Northern Cape Provincial Department of COGSTAFF's ability to support municipality is almost nil, because the officials that are appointed in the province are deployed in municipalities, simply because these municipalities, due to their geographical location, are unable to recruit personnel and also retain personnel if they have recruited some. So what then happens, the province appoints people as directors, chief directors, and they deploy them to these areas to go and assist in those municipalities, leaving a huge gap in the provincial office to provide this kind of support that is required. So the other issue is the role of mayors around the Municipal Finance Management Act. And this one, I think, it's also an issue that we need to look at between ourselves and Treasury, is that Treasury funds a course called CPMD to make sure that officials understand what they are supposed to do in relation to the implementation of legislation around finance and the management of finance. The problem that we pick up, Chairperson, is that I think it's money going to waste in some instances, because Treasury trains people this year and next year, and then 2-3 years down the line, these individuals are out of the system, new people are appointed, and again Treasury funds these new people to be taken for the same training, and they are not in a position to sustain and keep them in municipalities. So you keep on rolling and losing people who have been trained already by the state. And therefore it's something that we need to look at and make sure that there is some kind of sustainability around this expenditure. Chairperson, the issue of the secondment of engineers, and my colleagues indicate quite well that we'll probably have to give you the new statistics around how many engineers have been deployed. I think the question also was saying what impact has been there around these deployees from MISA or Senzamanje. Chairperson, I think the approach that we have recommended going forward was that you had these engineers coming from the DBSA. By design, they were not employed by the municipality. So in reality, the relationship between some of these financial experts and engineers who were in municipalities had no loyalty towards the municipality, because the design was that these are employees of Senzamanje or DBSA. Many of them did not attend council meetings. Some of them would not even understand the dynamics within those specific municipalities. And this resulted in them not being very productive or adding value to the service delivery and also the improvement of services and financial management in municipalities. An example in a quick way to bring about to this committee is if you look at Centersdorp in the Northwest. They have had engineers, they have had financial experts, but there hasn't been any improvement in terms of financial management in that municipality. And upon investigation, we realized that the financial expert came in, did his work, and left, the same as the engineer. They would never go to a council meeting to understand what the program of the council was. They stuck to the basic rules of simple putting figures together, designing plans, and whether they were going to be able to command respect and command the personnel in implementing projects was a different matter altogether. We're currently dealing with another one, but that is an issue that we'll take with the DG and brief him about it. Around the MPACs and the functionality, Chairperson, we do monitor, and I think here we work together with National Treasury. They do their own bit, we do our bit. As I said, part of our assessment in the past 2 months in July and August was to make sure that we understand whether the MPACs have been established, one, two, have they undergone training, three, are they functional, do they sit? Because we have left in every province, Chair, to make sure that this program does not fall apart again. In every province, there is a steering committee. The steering committee is co-chaired, and it's not out of mistrust, but it's because out of experience we have realized that the moment we go back to Pretoria, nothing really happens in many of the provinces. So the program is co-chaired in the steering committee by a provincial official and an official from COGTA National. So we make sure that these meetings do take place and we monitor whether they fit and what is entailed in their minutes. Chairperson, the one thing that we need to be looking at, there's a project which was not listed in the list of projects about the active citizenry, a good citizenship campaign, where we would have wanted communities to play an active role in also making sure that municipalities are held accountable. Chair, there is an example that we give of a well-functioning municipality if you look at Steve Chwete in Mpumalanga province. And if you look at Makwasi Hills, as the chairperson was saying, these are two municipalities that can show you what can go right if everything is done correctly and all the rules and regulations are observed. Because one of the things that we do in our assessment is compliance reports, whether you have complied with all the rules and regulations in your normal course of operations as a municipality. Makwasi Hills, the lack of leadership has really affected how that municipality declined. But if you look at Steve Chwete, the fact that there's been leadership and it was sustained, even at a technical level, has resulted in the municipality performing better than many municipalities in the country. Chair, I think the last thing that I would like to deal with is that, yes, we are going to be submitting a proposal to the DG. He's instructed the team that deals with turnaround strategy to look at what was the original plan. The rapid response team that the committee has referred to, we are bringing all those original plans back to the DG for him to consider so that we go back to the original plan and see what we can rescue and make sure that this plan is up and running. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Is there anything left?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. One of the members referred to the reason for the decline in the unqualified audit. I think it's slide 12. Well, we had 41% in 2008-2009 and then also 41% in 2010-2011. But what I wanted to lead the member to is, if we look at the percentage, that is the financially unqualified, that 46%. What has happened is that some of the municipalities in 2009-2010 under 42%, the ones that had financially unqualified with findings, they have graduated to clean, hence there's an increase to 5%. But as you can see, the overall percentage from 2008-09 it was 42-45, but it has gone up to 46%. So in actual fact, it's not a decline except that the municipalities have graduated to clean audit. But the fact that the percentage is still below the target is acknowledged. And then secondly, there were issues around in internal audits and audit committees in terms of their functioning. We have various operational structures that are in the provinces. For instance, we have got what we call Operation Clean Audit Committees that are chaired between Provincial Treasury and Provincial COGTA. In North West and Northern Cape, they are chaired in the Office of the Premier. These are the structures then that are actually monitoring the functioning of these audits and the establishment of these committees. And there is support plans that are done through the financial, the municipal finance improvement program that is managed by CEDAR. Fortunately, we've got our colleague from CEDAR, National CEDAR here. Where, for instance, in the case of the state, the MP mentioned for them that there's been this disclaimers and non-submission of financial statements. We have deployed financial advisors there to support the municipality so that those financial statements can be submitted. That is through the support that National Treasury is providing. We also have what we call Municipal Finance Management Coordinators Forum that is chaired at National Treasury, and we meet on a quarterly basis. We are part of that forum where all the provincial treasuries, they submit quarterly reports on the progress in terms of all the financial management issues. In terms of compliance around supply chain management, provincial treasuries, they are providing support in terms of training, you know, SVM officers in the municipalities so that we can reduce the non-compliance issues that actually make the municipalities have material findings around supply chain management. Just an additional one on the credit control policy, the training. I think the MP referred to the fact that we only concentrating on KZN, and which is already sort of well established. One of the reasons for us to run this workshop on credit control policy is because there are various cases that are decided during the year. So, in other words, we are sensitizing municipalities that they need to take into consideration when they are reviewing their credit control policies some of these decided cases, because they have an impact on their credit control policy. I think those are only just the few things that I wanted to clarify. Yes. Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you very much indeed. Perhaps I should reassure you, Chairperson, that the 108 municipalities represent the minimum target. If we're able to reach out to more, I'm sure we will. And in fact, that is the aim, to reach out to all municipalities. But we're saying we would like you to primarily judge us on how well we do on the minimum program, focusing on the 108. But that our intention is to go beyond that and not the other way around. It would be completely remiss of me if I didn't express my gratitude to Honourable Member De Beers on his suggestion, which we will take into account, with regard to how to attract and possibly even sponsor the training of young people in the area of financial management, providing bursaries to young people to go to university so that when they return, we can in fact contract them for a period of time where their skills could be put to good use. We will certainly investigate that and see how it could work in this instance, and if the verdict is in the affirmative, we will be happy to come and report to this committee on how well we're doing on it. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable.
Your counterpart in China is that
I've got a growth rate of 7.5% overall. There's an example.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Perhaps I can just add a few points, Chair, just so that we can also try and contextualize some of the reforms also going forward. Because important in these measurements, if we are basing a number of our conclusions on the audit opinion, I think we as a collective need to get to the bottom of the understanding of what a clean audit versus a clean administration means. There's a big push towards moving in that direction, and largely by the Auditor General to try and get to the point of a clean administration, which then also means DCOC gearing up quite quickly to deal with the monitoring very closely of the Systems Act and Structures Act. Largely the area of work has been on financial management, rightly so, when we all work together. The fundamental building blocks, as one of the colleagues and members also have mentioned, is not in place, and it relates to the Structures and Systems Act, including the Code of Conduct, being actually enforced, monitored and enforced effectively within government.
as a collective. I think we are looking at the end result, which is in the audit opinion. So what is happening in the beginning of the cycle is not being really reported on, monitored, managed, and then focused on as well, rightly so. So we need to perhaps look at that within the whole algae test as well. If we can fix that, I think we'll have the building blocks on the foundation laid correctly. So that is there, including the notion of moving from a clean audit to a clean administration. Now, if the Auditor General moves in that direction within this reporting period up to 2014, with the audit of performance information, one would expect the results to decline further. And that is a big concern in how that comes across. So we need to perhaps communicate this matter upfront as well to try and contextualize it well. That's a risk that we all face with whatever comes out. The next issue is also to recognize what can we do as different government departments and support of each other to make this work better. Collectively with DCOC, we've worked in piloting the new annual report, which links financial and non-financial information together. So many of the municipalities that work jointly by us with National Treasury and DCOC are starting to assist some of the municipalities move ahead. You'll see the case in point being Itikwini and the city of Cape Town, who have piloted that already. A guide has been issued on that, a circular has been issued on that jointly, so it does help us to also put the right building blocks for the future in place. I think that's something that we need to work towards and constantly improve. The next big point I think we need to try and overcome, and this has really been a big challenge in local government, is the continuous use of consultants. The committee may have picked it up, the Auditor General has definitely picked it up in the audit opinion. There's over 75% of municipalities appointing officials and then using consultants to do their jobs. Now this is a serious, serious challenge we all face in how we get capacity transferred from those consultants through to municipal officials and how we force that to happen. So it's part of our enforcement of contract management that is important to make sure that element of transfer of skills is brought in. It is a gap that I think we need to start working towards to actually improve. Just on the audit outcome, there were 43 institutions that didn't produce financial statements on time in 2010 and 11. That has improved to 27 this year. So there's that improvement which one could improve on the slides to give you a practical sense of progress being made. I think that's an important change and an important initiative. However, in all of the 27, there's support initiatives in place. I think that collectively we can see how we can improve on that further going down the track. There's also a need to address the municipal entities. And some municipalities, they've created entities, and in one instance, especially in the Free State, one of the municipalities there, they've not reported on the financial statements for that entity for a number of years. It's actually a trust. So we are doing work with that municipality and with the colleagues in the provinces to actually get down to the bottom of this matter to try and deal with that effectively. So in terms of our monitoring, we are seeing the gaps, as pointed out by the DG as well. I think the issue on the MFIP is recorded. There could be other initiatives that are brought to bear. And what we found is there's, during our coordination work with DCOC, is that there's multiple players contracting people in municipalities to help. So there would be a National Treasury, a DCOC initiative, so we share that information with each other so we remove duplication. But in the municipality themselves, they also then contract people to do the same work. So when we start to examine this more closely in our monitoring work we're doing, we're picking this up as gap filling in different ways. So we try to put a stop to this when we use resources to support a municipality. So if the municipality is appointed a contractor, we stay away. And I think we need to send some of these strong signals, whether through the council, the committee work, and others, we need to send some strong signals of getting value for money out of these support initiatives that we see that we need to try and help with. And then just last 2 points. I think, you know, some of the initiatives on the presidential outcome 12 and outcome 9 would have been nice to have also been presented, because that helps also contextualize what government priorities are and what we are working towards. Besides LG 10, there's a number of government, broadly government initiatives that is taking place. One of the big initiatives now is to address the internal systems of delegations in municipalities, because that's been a failure. We've been around to many municipalities, and those internal delegations from council to the mayor, from mayor to the municipal manager, from municipal manager to all the senior managers, has been done in a number of instances way back in 2000. Rubber stamped in 2006, and now have not been reviewed effectively. So the performance management of those officials that get appointed, they're not sure what they're supposed to do in terms of what delegations they have. And this has now opened up a whole area of work that we need to put in place to get it right, to get performance management and effective work done by those officials. So I think it cascades in a number of other initiatives that are taking place, which helps to build the end result of a clean audit, if we want to look at that. So all those different building blocks, you know, at some point it would be good to examine most of it to see which are these building blocks and where are the gaps still emerging. And as we work with the municipalities, I think collectively we'll find those gaps and we start to try and address them. Chair, I think there's a much more work we're doing, but collectively, but I think time won't allow us to go to all that. But it is something worth noting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Honourable Members, I don't know
if... Chairperson, before I forget, and it's not a point on the agenda, at the previous meeting, Mrs. Majid, or Ms. Majid was present, a lady in the wheelchair for Kofta, the deputy teacher, and I asked a question regarding the non-returning councillors gratuity, and within 48 hours I received a detailed reply. I just want to put it on record, that is an example of a reply within a short space of time from a national department, and I want to thank the department for that. I wrote her a letter to say thank you.
Thank you very much. That is honourable members, thanks DG and your team, National Treasury as well. At least now we know where we stand with this Operation Clean Audit, because we worried at some point that it would seem the department has abandoned it. Now that it's been revised, I think we are okay. We will most definitely monitor the implementation as we interact quite often with municipalities, and I hope moving forward with your cooperation, come 2014 at least we will have something positive to talk about, if we all get towards achieving the same objective. So thank you very much, DG. I'm going to request that the information relating to the number of engineers, where they are sent and what, you send that information in writing. And in our next engagement, we'll also invite the CEO of MISA to come and make a formal presentation. But before then, we would appreciate that in 7 days from now, we'll receive that information in writing. And we'll also follow up with yourself and the minister in terms of some of the issues that we have raised today, and as part of our oversight work. And thank you very much, TG and the team, and we are done with you. Excuse if you want to. Honourable members, just one last thing is just the adoption of the minutes. There's only one set of minutes in front of us. Just means that we are considering what we are adopting the policy. So if I can just get your approval of the minister.
Okay, all supporters. Thank you very much. And on that note, our members,
by in the lab. Yeah. For the website.
No matter, it's very private.
Why? It makes a vote.
I'm right.